So this morning we're going to carry on from where we stopped last time, but we'll do like a little refresher, so to speak. So I'm just going to go over some of the things that we've discussed over the past 2 weeks or so. Now, we've been looking at the series called Following God's Plan for Your Life. Following God's Plan for Your Life. And I made a number of points over the past 2 weeks. And this is based around the key scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. So the first point I made, which I'm going to reiterate this morning, is from there, that God has a plan for each and every one of us, although things don't always pan out the way we expect as we follow God's plan for our lives. And we looked at the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. And what we mentioned there was that this is one life that is very typical of what a lot of us go through in life. And for this young man at 17, God showed him a dream. And he was so excited about this dream that he had because it was God showing him his future. And he was so excited that he told his parents, he told his brothers. And he was like, man, God, I'm ready. Let's go for it now. And what happens? The next thing is that things just take a different trajectory. And we see a young boy at 17, full of dreams, full of all sorts of aspirations. And as his life starts, everything just goes, I don't want to say nosedives, but from the practical perspective, it seemed like everything actually nosedived for him. He was kidnapped, he was sold into slavery, and a number of things happened to him. Now, we know the text, we know the end because we can read the Bible, but I can tell you when Joseph was in that situation, he didn't know how it was going to pan out at all. We have the benefit of hindsight. For him, it was just a life of real upheaval. So the first point I made, I think I'll just make about 5 points tonight, this morning, just going through. So the first point is that, look, God's plan doesn't always pan out the way we think. It doesn't take the route that we think it will take most of the time. However, we must bear in mind that that doesn't negate God's plan. Irrespective of what happens, if we can just follow God's plan, and I'll explain what I mean by following God's plan, it's nothing fancy at all. Eventually, God's plan, well, not eventually, actually, as we're going along that path, God's plan is actually happening to us. But when I say eventually means the things that we are dreaming about, the things that we've envisaged finally happens. But we're leaving God's plan as we go along, even if it's really challenging. So that's the first point that we see in the life of this young man called Joseph. Now, the other thing I mentioned, I'll just mention 5 things this morning, is that there are certain things, so this is the second point, there are certain things that influence God's plan for our lives. There are certain challenges that come along our way that can often make it seem like, look, have I done something wrong to someone? Why is my life panning out like this? Do you understand what I mean? And, you know, I've met people who will come to me and we're talking and they'll be like, Pastor Benson, have I done something wrong? Why is this happening to me? Why has that happened to me? Why isn't this thing happening? I prayed about this, I prayed about that, and my life just appears to be going in like... And I remind people that, look, it is not what is happening to you at the moment that matters. It's your perspective on it. Now, am I saying we should just hide our faces in the sand, our head in the sand, and pretend that we're not going through the challenge that we're going through? No. But there is a perspective that God wants us to have. And that perspective is, irrespective of what's happening, you're good. Do you understand? So the second point we see here is this, that there are a number of things that come along our way. And I think I referred to a number of things. I said there's like, I referred to three things. The first one is what I'll call like the family things that happen to us. And that's where, as we're growing up or as we're, you know, just going through life, certain things might happen in our family with our parents, with our siblings and all that sometimes can cast a shadow on what God's plan is for us. There are people who, they'll say, look, when I was younger, my parents didn't really care much for me. I was abandoned. Nobody really paid any attention to me. If my parents had been there for me, maybe I wouldn't be where I am now. I would have been able to do this. I would have been able to do that. So these things happen. Same thing with Joseph. Joseph might have been thinking to himself, if my brothers hadn't, I mean, what did I even do to my brothers? Why would my brothers be so wicked to sell me into slavery? So can you imagine how traumatizing that must have been for him? So all these things happen to us along the way. Then we also have what I call like relational ones, which we looked at as well, where Joseph was accused wrongly of trying to assault someone. So again, that was Joseph. For some people, it's like maybe they were looking forward to they're in a relationship with someone and they're really happy and they're thinking it's going to go in a particular direction, and one day it just falls apart. And it's like, man, why did this happen? Why did I even meet this person? If you knew you are not, you know. And we have all these relational things as well that happen to us, similar to what happened to Joseph as well. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that, look, number one, God has a plan for every one of us, but it doesn't take the trajectory we think sometimes. Number two, we will go through stuff in life that can make it seem like God doesn't even care about you. But God actually does care. Do you understand? So I'm going to mention three more things this morning and we will pray. So the question I asked last week is this. I've said all these things about living in God's plan. I've said all these things about, okay, you know, these things happen to you in life and it doesn't really matter. God's plan still works for you. So I want to make three more points this morning, which I reflected on last week. So the first question is this. Why should you care about God's plan for your life? I mean, why should you care? Someone might say, well, look, I'm 30, 35, 40. I've kind of like lived. My life's been okay without me, in quote, trying to live out God's plan. So I don't really need it. Maybe I might think about it. But why? So the third question is that why? Why do you need to be concerned about God's plan at all? I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This was Paul saying something here. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all those who longed for his appearing. So the third question is, why should I care about God's plan at all? What relevance is it to me? And the point I made last week, and which I'm going to make again today, is this. This was a man who was at the end of his life, Paul. He was going to be killed. He was in a Roman prison. And he knew that, look, maybe next week or tomorrow, my head's going off, because he was executed in Rome. So this was a man that came to the end of his life and he reflected on all he had done. And at this point, he was able to say to himself, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. So this was a man that was satisfied at the end of his life. He was satisfied because he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had lived in God's plan. Do you understand what I mean? And I was given an example last week, and I said, This is kind of like a personal example, actually. There was one, when I was with my late wife, right, this was about 2 years ago, and at this point, a lot of you guys don't know her, but some of you guys know her. She's what I would call, she was just like, you know, if the Bible has said this, then this is what it should be. Do you know what I mean? She was just that kind of person. And so she wasn't really well at a particular point in time, and where it was during COVID. So they didn't let anybody come in to visit her. So I was with her. I was sitting by her. And this was a really odd conversation that we had. And she said, look, if Jesus doesn't come into this room to heal me now, then I'm going to meet him. This is the kind of conversation we're having. Then we started talking. And you know what she began to say? She said, okay, let's scan through your life together. So it was me talking to her as her pastor and as her husband as well, but more as her pastor. And we began to talk. And she made a number of points. She said, okay, as far as I'm concerned, I've done all I need to do with regards to what God wanted me to do with my life and with you. I mean, we did a lot of really interesting things from a scripture perspective. In fact, we did some things that I wouldn't recommend from a faith perspective. She said, I've done all that. She now said, I've always wanted to start a business. In fact, the first day I met her, after we started talking years ago, that was what was on her mind. She said, look, I started this business as much as I can. Help me look after that business. So with that, I'm cool. Our kids, I've tried all I can for them. When we finished that conversation, she said something to me that really shook me as a pastor. At the end, she said, look, if she has to go, she's ready to go. Why? Because as far as she's concerned, she's done all that she wanted to do. The only thing is she'd miss our children and the church and all that. But from an assignment perspective, from God's plans perspective, she said, Pastor B, I'm good. So if I meet Jesus tomorrow, I'm fine. And when she said these things to me, I was taken aback because I was saying to myself, my goodness, me as a pastor, can I sit down? I mean, this is not like a joke at all. This is when you know that death is knocking at your door. Not like a movie. Would I be able to sit down and say, Jesus, if you came tomorrow, as much as I know how to do, I'm done. When she told me that, she smiled. And I said, really? She said, yeah, really. Now, why am I taking us to this really personal point here? It was then that I realized to the fullest that, my goodness, if a person gets to a point where they have to check out, all of us here, all of us will live till we're like 100 here, so don't worry, you're not checking out early. I think her own, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God that, why did you take this? Why did you let this babe check out before me like this so early? So that's another conversation. So we'll all get to 80, 90, if you want 120. I know Brother Josh is looking at me, he's like, man, I'm going to be 120. Don't worry, you get that. But you don't want to get to a point, whatever age it is, that it's time for you to go. And such a person has a regret. And that regret is, my goodness, how I wish I had been able to do this. My goodness, did I even fulfill God's plan for my life at all? Because I can assure you, that question will come to one's mind. So, why am I making this point? So the third point I'm making is this. Why should you care about God's plan? Well, I believe you should care about God's plan because when it's time for you to check out, that's the only thing that you're going to remember. You're going to remember, my goodness, have I done all the things that I was supposed to do and all the things that I wanted to do? And like Paul here, Paul said in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7 to 8 that we read here, he said when he was ready to go, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. So living in God's plan, I tell you, is what will really give us, I believe, that satisfaction, not only when we check out, but as we go through life. So it's not like you're waiting till it's like time for you to go. No, it's every day you wake up, you're able to say, look, I have lived my life to the fullest, as much as I know how to. Do you understand? So the third thing is why? And the answer I'm giving this morning with regards to why is, I believe that that is what will give us satisfaction in life as we go through life. Do you understand? Two more points this morning. So, the fourth point I want to make is this. It might be like, oh, Pastor B, you've been talking about this God's plan, so on and so forth. Tell us, what does that really mean in real life? Does that mean I have to get the Bible and pray and say, God, show me your plan for my life? Pastor Benson has said it. I'm not going to get up from here until you, like Joseph, show me. You can do that, but I believe that God's plan is slightly easier than that. So the fourth point I want to make is this. God's plan for our lives is not a destination necessarily. It is not a goal. Now, what I mean by that is this. Let's read Genesis chapter 40 and verses 1 to 8. Talking about Joseph. Now, imagine that Joseph had been in prison for a while. Joseph had been wrongly accused of assault. He had been sold into slavery. He had gone through all those things. But let's take a snapshot from Joseph's life after all this has happened, after all these had happened to him. And I'll read Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 to 8. It says, Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 to 8. It says, some time later, the cupbearer, Joseph was in prison at this time, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in the custody of the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who had been held in prison, had a dream the same night. And each one saw, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. So these guys were in prison with Joseph, two people, and they had a dream. And when they woke up from this dream, they were troubled. I don't know if they thought it was a nightmare or something. See what happens in verse 6. It says, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? And they said, we both had dreams, they answered, but there's no one to interpret them. So the fourth point I want to make is this. Joseph was a man who had loads of problems. I mean, he didn't know if he was going to die in prison. And I think I highlighted that in those days, prison wasn't like it is now in England. And I mentioned that I went to pay a visit, an official visit to a prison in Puckle Church here. So the vicar, the vicar of the prison said, invited a few of us saying, okay, you know, they have like a Christian fellowship here and all that. I'll take you on a tour around the prison. So I went there into prison, you know, I was just smiling because I'll say that's something else. So I went there and I wasn't quite sure what I was expecting when I went. But when I got there, we went to some of the prison cells, some of the inmates. I got introduced to some of the inmates and I took a tour of the prison. And I was like, my goodness, is this prison or is this a hotel? And the reason I said that is this. In their cells, they had like television. And for like the meals, you could actually choose which meal you're going to have. You can have roast potatoes and chicken. They had like a football game, a field you could, you know, go and play football. They had a well-stocked library. When we went, they had like a Christian fellowship group thing. When I attended, I was like, man, maybe I should just import these guys to our church. They had one guy that was playing bass, guitar, keyboard. They had singers singing in harmony. I'm like, man, what is this? I'm not recommending prison, by the way. So it's not like, but what I'm saying is that prison wasn't like that in the time of Joseph. It was dark, dingy. There were no toilets. It was, sometimes you were chained to a wall. You were left in the corner. So you had to do your business in the corner with everybody. I mean, it was terrible. Joseph came to this man. And even though he was in that situation, he came to them and asked them, why are you guys looking so sad? Why are you looking so sad? And you're like, Pastor B, so what's the point here? They should be sad, they're in prison. That's not the point. The point is this. Joseph was living out God's plan for his life, even though he wasn't at the destination that he was expecting. So in Joseph's life, he realized that living out God's plan is not a goal. It's not till something happens. It's being conscious of God every single day and doing the best that you can in every circumstance. Being Christ-like, doing what Christ would expect you to do, not only as a sense of obligation, but from a place of joy. So I'm going to make one more point that will bring all this together for us in terms of what is God's plan for us. So the first thing I'm mentioning here, which is the fourth point, is that God's plan is not a destination. It is living life every day, appreciating where we are, maybe not being, not settling, but really appreciating where we are in terms of the fact that you're alive, you have God. Joseph went out of his way to say, guys, why are you sad? He didn't say, look, God, why am I in this situation? And you know, we're allowed to say that. I'm not talking to anybody. You know, I prayed about this and this happened. In fact, I'm not going to church again. This praying church business is just, I'm not quite sure it works. Bye. Then you delete everybody's phone number. When pastor, now I'm not talking about you guys in this church. When pastor calls, blocked. When another person calls, blocked. Then when it becomes too much, like, this church people, don't disturb me again. I'm busy. Can't you let... There are times that we get pushed to that limit. And I'm not saying we don't get there sometimes. But Joseph understood something. That living in God's plan is not a destination. It's not, God, I will agree that you care about me because I prayed about this and this has happened. You know, whether God answers our prayers, I believe he does. That's why we pray. But the truth of the matter is this. In Joseph's circumstance, it was like, whether God has answered my prayer request or not, irrelevant. God is God. I believe he will answer me, but my attitude towards God, my joy will not be based on whether something I'm expecting has happened or not. Do you understand what I mean? It's not based on prevailing circumstances. Do you get what I mean? So the last point I'm going to make is this. How do we live God's plan for our lives? How do we do it? And like I said, God has made everything so simple. I'll read two scriptures here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. And it says, this is Paul talking. It says, I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming more like him in his death. The second scripture I'm going to read is John chapter 6 and verse 28 and 29. John chapter 6, 28 and 29. It says, some people came to Jesus and they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And when I read John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29 that I've just read now, I was like, it didn't seem like Jesus really answered the question of these guys. They came to Jesus excited, I believe. And they said, Jesus, what must we do? Tell us. Must I join the choir and sing? Must I be in the tech department? Must I go out onto the street and tell me, Jesus? And they were expecting Jesus to say, that's right, you got it right. But do you know what Jesus told them? Which I think might have been a bit of a shock to them. He says, this is the work of God, that you know Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Now, what does that mean? So if I tie that back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, one of the things that could make Paul say in 2 Timothy that we read earlier, that I have finished my race, I have done all what God wants me to do, wasn't necessarily because he had achieved everything that he set out to do. It wasn't because God had answered every prayer that he asked. What was the basis for his knowing, for his living God's plan? The basis was that every day his aim was to know Christ. So what does that mean for us? That means that as long as you wake up in the morning and you have a desire to know Christ, to spend time with God, to know more about Christ, as far as God's concerned, you're living out his plan. Now, am I saying we shouldn't do all those things I mentioned, like sing in the choir and do tech and all that? We should. But those things are an expression. They're not the primary thing that is doing God's work. They come out of our love for God. Those things that we do are an expression of the fact that, look, we love God. I'll give two more points, and I'll end here. So I remember again, talking about my late wife. There was once, this was the early days, when we just got married. I think it was like year 5 or 6. And I mean, I was like mega busy. I'm still a mega busy guy, but in those days, I was so busy. I would do this, do that, do this job, do that job. I was trying to like do like a web design company. So I was always busy. I was like, and you know, I'd be like, oh, once I do this, I'm going to buy this for my wife. So I'll buy some gifts for her. I would hide them by the door. She would stumble on them and be like, oh, you bought this again. So I was just always trying to do stuff. I was like, dear, can I? And one day she called me by my first name. And she said, can we talk? You know, that statement is so loaded. When your wife says, can we talk? I'm like, man, what have I done? what have I done to deserve this statement? Can we talk? And we sat down. I said, okay, yeah, what's up? And she said, look, I appreciate everything that you do for this family. You work really hard. You buy all these things. You make sure we're comfortable as a family and all that. I appreciate all these things that you do. However, do you know what I want from you? I said, what do you want from me? She said, I just want you to sit down and spend time with me. And as a guy, I'm like, is that it? The women might be looking at me and understand this, but for a guy, it's like, sit down and do what? I mean, when I'm having a conversation, it has to have a purpose. I have to say, this leads to this, to this, to this, as a guy. So I didn't really get it then, but I said, okay, no problem. Well, you know, if that's what will really make you. And I remember we'll wake up, in the evenings when the kids have gone to bed, we would sometimes talk from 8 in the evening till 2 in the morning. If you ask me, what are you talking about? I don't remember. I mean, we're really talking about anything groundbreaking. But for her, that was her interpretation of what life really, what was really valuable. Saying that it was really me she wanted. All the other things that I did, she appreciated them, but that was not the core. So what I'm saying today is this. God appreciates everything we want to do. But it's you that he wants. It's you. It is you that he wants. All the other things we do, fantastic. But it is you that he wants. And Paul realized this. And Paul said, look, I have lived my life. And what's the basis of that? I've always made it my goal to know you, Christ. Do you understand? All the other things we do, God wants us to do them. But he wants us to realize that this, following my plan is knowing me. That was why Joseph was able to endure all those things. And it didn't seem like it mattered to him whether God got him to that dream he saw or not, because he understood that life is not about just achieving things, which we should. But he understood that whether I'm in prison, whether things are working well or not, I know God. I want to know God. And God appreciates the fact that my heart is to know him. Do you understand? So I'm going to end there this morning. And the reason I'm making this point so strongly is this. God wants you and I to live our lives joyfully. God doesn't want us, I believe, to say, I will be happy when this happens to me. I will be happy when I get a job or a better job. I will be happy when I'm able to do this. Yeah, God wants you to aspire. He wants me to aspire as well. But I believe he's telling us by his word this morning that even though you have those aspirations, right, those are not the things that will give you the fulfillment that you need. What will give you the fulfillment that you need is giving me your heart, making me, knowing me, God, your priority. And as you do that, God says he's with us all the time, walking alongside us. Do you understand? And he wants us to enjoy our lives on a daily basis as we do that. So this morning, I just want us to rise and we're just going to pray. And I just want us to take time out and just to pray that God, help me to really focus my heart on you. If there's anything that's bothering you, there are things that you're expecting, tell God about them, but just ask that God, let me find joy in knowing you. Let that be my priority so that I can live according to your plan. And what is God's plan? God's plan is that we focus on knowing him. And as we do that, we will be shocked at the satisfaction, the fulfillment that we will begin to experience on a day-to-day basis. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. Father, we thank you that you have not made things complicated for us. That all that you want is that we know you. All that you want is that we really make our life's aim getting to know you more and more on a daily basis. Father, we thank you for this. Father, we thank you for this. So this morning, let's just ask that God would really help us, give us that fulfillment that we so desire. Like that desire in our heart that we will really have the heart to want to know God so that we can experience the fulfillment that he says. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will help us. Give us the fulfillment, oh God. Let our heart's desire be to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. And I pray for everyone who is unwell at this time as well, maybe who are here or who are not here. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, 17, it says, Jesus bore our sicknesses and infirmities. 2 Peter chapter 1, 24, it says, by his stripes we are healed. I speak healing to everyone who is unwell in Jesus' name. For those that are not even here as well, I pray and I send the word of God to meet them where they are, that God's word will strengthen them, will bring them to full recovery in Jesus' name. And for people who are troubled in their minds, the Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, my peace I leave with you. I speak the peace of Jesus Christ into every situation, into every mind, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.